Jeremiah chapter 7. Open your Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 7. I don't know why I feel a little fresher with Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah is a heavy book for me, and I want to make sure that I don't become a negative preacher, because there's some hard things, the parallels and the similarities between what this southern kingdom was doing, and all of their blessings are very similar to the United States. And I don't want to be negative, but Jeremiah 7 is a little different than what we've been dealing with. Most of the time that we've been in Jeremiah thus far, I've reminded you that the judgment that God speaks of, and it's still in Jeremiah 7, is speaking to Israel nationally, right? So what you'll see here, and I want you to be able to distinguish how God deals with Israel nationally versus how he would deal with you individually as a believer, right? There is a difference. Judgment will not come upon you. Chastening is different than judgment. I even distinguish the difference between, I would say, God won't punish me. He will chasten me. We can have discussions over the words, but I think they are important distinctions. So, but Jeremiah chapter 7 is, you'll see the title of my message. The title of my message is simply The Lord's House. As we go through this chapter, I want you to take note of how often the Lord's house is mentioned. And what we're going to see here, I think, is a lot of superstition that goes into people that go to church. And so I want you just to enjoy this. It's again, nearly three columns. This is longer than I normally like, but I think it's fitting that we do the whole chapter. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1 says this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these, and he enumerates those in the next few verses. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye throughly, excuse me, it's throughly, not thoroughly. Let me just begin that again. There's a distinction between thoroughly and throughly. Verse 5. For if ye throughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye throughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first. That's where the tabernacle and ultimately the Ark of the Covenant was initially as they entered into the Promised Land. Look at verse 12 again. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people. This, verse 16, is a stunning verse. He's telling Jeremiah not to pray for them. Let's read verse 16 again. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. He repeats that later in Jeremiah as well. Verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? These verses will explain why God wouldn't hear them, okay? I always say this, just so you know, just in case I don't speak everything I want to speak. I believe that God will always hear true repentance. But there was not repentance. Verse 17 kind of lists out the failings of the southern kingdom. Verse 17. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers knead. The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. The whole family's involved in this. We got the whole family involved in false worship. Verse 8:19. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. When we get to 21, it's really cool. You're going to enjoy what that's talking about. Verse 22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. I want you to now look at the faithfulness of God in verses 25 through 29. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouth. Super sad statement. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Verse 29. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Again, title of the message tonight, just to the Lord's house. I want us to maybe just take a different application tonight. So preachers are delusional too, but I think my preaching tries to focus on application, the so what. What do we do about this? What do we do about a passage given 2,700 years ago in that range? I think it's so relevant for us. If you understand this, this is written to people that were given great blessings of God, given the truths. I think what we need to, the application tonight, if I don't remind you of this, the application would be to church-going folks that go to a place that would strive to preach the Bible. I'm imperfect. The Bible's perfect. God's perfect. I'm imperfect. It is. I love being a pastor, but at the same time, I wish I was never a pastor. The accountability I'll have before God, I'm a joke compared to what God is worthy of, what His Word is worthy of, the gospel message. I'm I'm nothing. I just wish I believed that too. You understand that? We're all full of ourselves if we were just honest. I am. But there's so much for us in this passage that says, what is the house of the Lord for? Make sure you don't think I'm getting off into anything. The church, the word church, it's from the Greek word ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. It's a visible assembly. It's the people, okay? But in many times, the Lord talks about his house, the facilities that God gives for us to use. And I love, many preachers have said this, it's just a fishing boat to catch fish. But we need to understand that when we come to the house of the Lord with the assembly of God's people, it's, what's it about? I've been places, I guess you might be feeling old when you've got so many examples in your own life, that people are more dedicated to a building than they are the cause of Christ. I've got more blood, sweat, and tears in this building than anybody, but I'm telling you this, it's not about a building. But I'm thankful for the building God gave me. So when we come and we gather together and we assemble together, let's learn from what God says. Look at this in verse 1. He says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there his word. I want you to know this. The first thing that he says that they need to do in the Lord's house is proclaim the word there. I believe it's critical for us that this becomes a beachhead. This becomes a launching point. And when we are here, that we proclaim the word of the Lord. That needs to be the priority, and I pray that it is. I love our music, and I've told you this before. The number one thing that people talk about, that they rave about, that they love, is the music here. So I'm thrilled about that. I'm always like, what did you think? You know, if they don't, what did you think about that preaching? You know, it's okay. But I'm happy about that. I'm happy for the singing, and it is part of worshiping the Lord, declaring his word, and I love it. I love our music. I'm going to tell you this. I'm a very emotional guy. Not that kind of emotion. But I'm a guy that I'm a fired up guy. If I'm not fired up, I don't care. I'm all or nothing. I'm in or I'm out. If I don't care, you can't get me to care. It's a big deal for me. By God's grace, I've never come into the pulpit not excited about a message. You should see me sometimes when I'm studying. Father, we're canceling the service. Not going to do it. This passage. Dud. I can't get anything from it. I know it's not a dud, just so you know. I'm the dud that can't get it. And the Lord will work with me. I will not come to the pulpit unless I'm excited. Now, I'm excited about the scriptures, right? But I will tell you what you do, and I love this. You're not doing it for me, but it does fire me up. I love being with the church that sings. And it helps me proclaim the word of God. I want you to know this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We need to proclaim the word of God. We need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ so that our words match our walk. But I'll tell you what, we need to declare it, and it needs to be declared here. No matter what, if I drop dead tomorrow, the priority needs to be the Bible. The only way we're going to know what's right and wrong versus my opinion is the Bible. Everybody has an opinion. Let's try to stay with the Bible, proclaim the word. And I want to tell you this, I'm okay. If I say something goofy, love me. You know, don't like it. 8:31. Oh, hey. You know, I'm a guy. I would rather you say, hey, let's meet. Tell me, warn me, and say, I'm concerned about something. You know, because I get paranoid. We just meeting because you really like me? Or just tell me ahead of time, right? But I want to tell you this. I don't want to offend God. I'm not really worried about you. I'm probably going to offend you. I don't want to. But I don't want to offend God. And we are a body. And so you help me, okay? The fact that I happen to be a mouthpiece many times for preaching, you study, keep me straight. Let's study together with one objective, and that's the honor and glory of God, and it comes through truth. Somebody just asked me yesterday. They said, why is Jesus called the Word? I would love to hear your answer. I'm not going to tell you what I said. Isn't that an awesome question? Lost person. Why is Jesus called the Word? You need to ponder that. Tell me what you think. Maybe I'll tell you the rest of the story another day. Second thing I want you to see in verse 2, he said, stand in the gates of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. The second thing that we do when we come into the Lord's house is to worship him. And I want us to be conscious of this all the time. I mentioned it. Remember, to worship is to declare worth, is to give worth, is to give honor, is to bow down and say, something is more important than me, greater than me, and I give honor and I give worth to Christ. They were not giving honor to Jehovah, and they were not giving honor to the Messiah either. It's to worship the Lord. Third thing I want you to see, I love this, in verse 3, just another, it says, amend your ways. Look at this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Another word for amend would be repent. I want you to understand this. You should ask the Lord to reveal areas in your life, attitudes in your life that aren't right and don't honor him. It doesn't matter if nobody else knows it. If you have an attitude of pride or sin, you are harming others, but most of all, we're dishonoring the Lord Jesus Christ. We should ask the Lord, reveal my sin to me so that I can amend my way, so that I can repent and make it right with you. And that's one reason we come together, to let the Word of God reveal in us. I love LED. I'm telling you what, LED is a gift to old people, isn't it? I mean, I'm not saying I'm that old, but it's like, I go from LED to we're like, no, I can't see, you know? I mean, I love it. I can find everything in my garage now. And they got these LEDs and like four little spotlights. It's like, whew. My wife doesn't like the LED in the bathroom because it's like, you know, she can't turn it on in the middle of the night. But LED is, and you know what? LED is so awesome. It's the closest thing to real light. The best thing if you want to read is just get in the sun, right? But LED is amazing because you can see, right? Maybe some of you don't, people say, when are you going to get glasses? Vanity, vanity, say the preacher. All is vanity. I used to wear glasses years ago. Don't look up and try to find pictures. But I love LED because I can see better. I find things faster. That's the Word of God. We want it to shine the light of truth into our lives. Oh, Christian. Ignorance is not bliss. Truth will set us free. We need the illumination of God's Word, LED on steroids, to highlight for us our delusional ways. We think we're way better than we do. We can talk about lost people. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If God would ask you why he would let you in, what would you tell him? Because I'm good. And we're like, oh, there's none good. But we're standing there thinking we're better than them. I mean, if we thought about it, we'd say, well, no, we're not really. Intellectually, you may not think you're better than them, but in reality, we think we're pretty good people. When we get God's Word illuminating on our hearts, it'll humble us and draw us to the Lord, because the only way we can truly have victory is by being at the side of Christ and walking in his ways. I'll tell you, if we really understood how desperate we are, we wouldn't struggle being in the Word of God, would we? We'd find that the Word of God is the number one greatest priority that we could have every single day, maybe every single hour. But we don't think that. And that's me as well. So amend your ways. Let's just look at the details of what amending our ways is. Look at this. He says this. I didn't put this on the slides, but I want you can just note these. If you were to teach this, I could teach weeks on this chapter. He says, trust ye not in lying words. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. They were putting their hope in this beautiful temple. Magnificent temple. If it wasn't by God's instructions, I would call it opulent. I would call it ridiculous. But see, treasures aren't ridiculous to lavish on the Lord, and he gave the instructions of how to build it, and it was amazing. And it was so tremendous that they put their hope that said, no way God's going to let this get destroyed, so just hang around the temple and we're good. And God says, the temple of the Lord are these. And then he enumerates what really amending our ways would be. He says this, for if you throughly, I love this, it's throughly, it's all the way through, it's complete. For if ye throughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye throughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. So just understand this, it's everything. It's a whole house cleaning. It's a whole examination of your life. It is that you will execute what is right between a man and his neighbor. Not just what you can get away with. What is right? Look at verse 8. If you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Again, he mentions these groups of people all the time. The fatherless, the stranger, the widow. He says, if you oppress them not. If you shed not innocent blood in this place, rescue the perishing. Neither walk after other gods to your hurt. It is we worship false gods today in this church. All an idol is anything we put before God. We don't like to admit that. I will tell you, it's so difficult, it's so easy to say now that I'm just in the ministry. I don't know. I think I have. It's rare to know somebody that gives more honor to God than their employer. Most Christians, this rules the day. That's a false god. You ought to be the best employee ever. That doesn't mean that, and I just to say, don't misunderstand me. It doesn't mean that you're forsaking the assembling if you miss a church service. There can be circumstances that can cause that. I'm not suggesting that. But don't. This is me, right? And you're here on Wednesday night, so you're disciplined, right? But it's, you let your job wear you out so much that you can't serve the Lord? You put your employer first. Find a job that doesn't wear you out so you can have the energy to do what you say you want to do. Make less money if it takes that to do what you want to do for the Lord. I'm just telling you, when you're dead, when you're old, you won't wish you worked more. I remember when I worked at McDonald's, 16 years old, right? Man, they whipped me around like, no, I think I'm going to go work at McDonald's just for the fun of it. You know? And they're hiring, I know, I've thought about it. And I still want to be a good employee, but I was the only guy that seemed to work. Everybody else was just watching me work. And again, it's just, I was making $3.35 an hour. That was minimum wage, $3.35. You are old. But just amend your ways. Put the Lord first. Don't put other gods ahead of you, ahead of him. He says this in verse 7. He says, then what's the result? The end result? He says, then will I cause you to dwell in the place and the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. It's the promised land. I'm just telling you, here's the key. You want the abundant life? It's in repentance and being right with God. I'll tell you this. I say things and then I review them. The abundant life is in Jesus Christ and him alone. I've made statements recently, and I still think this is kind of the abundant life. I think the greatest part of Christianity, it's just me personally, it's my opinion, is seeing people saved. There's just nothing better, and then I love it. There's just nothing better. The abundant life is in Jesus, to be clear. But I think abundant life, 1A, is seeing people saved. There's just nothing better. Is there anything better? You all tell, is there anything better? Is there anything better? There's nothing better than seeing people go from death unto life, see people's lives change, see people understand why they're here. And then we get more excited about Jesus and we tell more people about Jesus. And it's so beautiful and so cyclical. It's the promised land. You know, it'll keep us from witnessing. You know, it'll keep us from really just enjoying the abundant life to really have the promises of God. It's sin. You know why I have a bad attitude? I had a bad attitude tonight. And the Lord was working on me, and I was, you know, I was trying to, and I, I don't know why I had a bad attitude. I was trying to say, well, what's up? And I mean, the conclusion was, you're just a bad attitude guy. And so I said, okay, I need to get over the bad attitude. I need to submit to the Lord and realize, you know, I just need to be nicer, kinder, and repent of it. I just asked the Lord. I said, I'm not sure why I'm in a bad mood. Please forgive me. It's wrong. If I stay in a bad mood, I'm going to dishonor you, or I'm just not going to be able to enjoy you. It's not your fault, it's mine. Please help me. And he does. I want to enjoy the Lord. Look at verse 8 through 11. It's no place for hypocrisy. The Lord's house is no place for hypocrisy. He says, behold, ye trust in lying words. False prophets were telling them everything's going to be okay. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. Verse 9's interesting. He basically lists out some of the Ten Commandments. He says, will you steal? Murder? Commit adultery? Swear falsely? And burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you know not? So let's just get the matter here. I love Jesus in the Bible. Will you steal? Well, I think verse 11 helps us with that. It says, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? You understand this. The average person that goes to church doesn't tithe. You're a thief. And you're coming to church. And you're a robber. That's not me trying to get more money in the offering box. Not at all. Zero. So will you steal? Murder. Remember, Jesus says you have hate in your heart toward your brother. You're guilty of murder of the heart. Will you hate? Will you commit adultery? Jesus said if you have lust in your heart toward a woman, speaking to the man, but it could be vice versa. You're lusting in your heart privately. Pornography so rampant, it's destroying men and women all over, people that go to church. This is relevant. Is this not relevant? If this isn't relevant, will you steal? Most people don't tithe. Will you murder? Most people don't love people. Will you commit adultery? Most people out there hitting on something. Will you swear falsely? We lie. Say whatever we need to say. You don't understand, preacher. Well, I don't have to understand. I won't be your judge. And we burn incense unto Baal and walk after other gods whom you know not. He says, and come and stand before me. I just want you to understand this. This is beautiful. Just understand this. Make it a habit. And it's a habit with me. You got to understand. I say this all the time. I preach 3 times a week. So, Rachel, do you think there's ever been a time that I probably shouldn't have preached? I wasn't spiritually right to preach. That's ridiculous. No, you're right. Do you think there's been times? I know. They tell me that you've come to church and you know what you should do? You should come to church. So I'll tell you this. As a preacher, I examine myself. I don't want to come into that pulpit not right with God. And I don't. And I'm just telling you. I try to come to church without being a hypocrite. Say, oh, Lord, help me again. I've struggled with all those things that we just talked about. Help me to do what's right versus getting calloused and ignoring it and getting comfortable and saying, oh, that's just my besetting sin. Oh, well. What's going to destroy you and destroy me is just coming to church and it's out of habit and it's just of no benefit. There's no amending of our ways. There's no repentance of sin. And we just come with hypocrisy. Service after service after service after service. Remember, just understand this. I'm not upset at anybody in this room, and I don't think this really characterizes our church. But this characterizes people that call themselves by God's name, okay? So I'm just preaching the next verse. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight, but I'm looking in the mirror a lot in this, and I know this. I've lived this. And it's misery, is it not, Christian? It is misery. You begin to question everything because sin is just so destructive. Look at verse 10. He says, and you come and stand before me in the house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Does that sound like the 21st century? We are delivered to do all these abominations. Steve, You're old school. Did sin change? That's what people mean when they call me old school. I'm okay with old school. I could probably whoop them any time, any day of the week. Why does that matter? See, I'm a mess. But it is important to me. But I love being a man, but you know, just get over it, Steve, and just shut up. But it is old school. Sin hasn't ever changed, has it? And so here's what Israel is doing, just what we do in the 21st century. We are delivered to do all these abominations. Ignore sin and worship God. You cannot truly honor God and hold on to your sin. And I can't either. That's what's being encouraged in the 21st century. We ought to never hate a sinner. There's not one passage that'll give you permission to hate anyone. You understand this? Saw a good example of street preaching when we went to the Reds game. Gave him a thumbs up. Usually I don't see good examples of street preaching. These guys seem thrilled to death telling people they're going to burn in hell. Right? God can use that. So I'm not going to pick on Christians. I'm just sort of like, okay, all right. I'm not going to say anything bad. We ought not to act excited that you're going to hell. You can say that in a way that is warning and loving and kind. God wants you to know, if you don't turn from your ways, you leave him no choice, right? And so I want you to understand this. We ought to love every single person, but I'm telling you this. We aren't delivered. You know what freedom in Christ means? Here's what freedom in Christ means. It's not free to sin. It's freedom to finally do what's right. That's what freedom is. You understand that? It's so messed up. It's okay, Steve. I have freedom in Christ to finally do what's right. People misunderstand. In the Southern Kingdom did as well. Look at verse 11. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? We've spoken about that. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. I want you to understand this. It was mentioned before, but I want you to see this as well. It's not about a building, and we'll see this. Look at verse 12. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh. It's not about a building. It's not about a location. He says, but go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Shiloh was wasted. The Bible doesn't record that. Some history does, though it's limited. But God made Shiloh a wasteland. Look at verse 13. And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early. Look, even in the midst of this, God's mercy. He says, he rose up early through the prophets and speaking. But you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house. Have you ever thought this? It's foolish thinking. It's just, maybe it's the flesh, maybe it's the devil. You ever thought this, that, well, God's going to just deal with me privately because it would bring such reproach to his name? Have you ever thought that? Anybody? No? Okay, thank you. I figured you might. No, it's you know what? That's foolish thinking, isn't it? Now, God is all about his name, and we ought to be all about his name. Understand? But you and I, you know this, I don't want Hope Baptist Church to bring reproach to the name of Christ. But if we don't honor him, he's not worried what Hope Baptist Church does to his name. One of the best things he would do, if Hope Baptist Church became a reproach to Christ, one of the best things he would do is take this church out of existence. If we are not going to honor God, if we are not going to preach the gospel, if we are not going to make it all about Jesus Christ, then it might just be best not to have a bunch of religious people feeling good about themselves. And so, God is not worried about his name. He is focused on his name, and we ought to. But he says this, look at verse 14, I'll quickly. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein ye trust. They were trusting, remember, the temple. And unto the place which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Remember, Ephraim is a reference to the northern kingdom. He said, don't you remember what happened to the northern kingdom? He says, then verse 16, this is, I don't have enough time to dwell on this. Maybe I'll come back to it in weeks future because he says it again. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. I will tell you, this is my personal conviction. I don't think you and I can ever, maybe the Lord will impress upon your heart. I think you should always pray for lost loved ones. You should always pray for God to intervene. You should always ask for mercy from the Lord. So don't use this verse and say, I ain't praying for you. Jeremiah 7:16. Well, did God tell you not to? He said, love your enemies. Right? He's told us to pray for those. And so, but there is a truth in this that says, sometimes, it's too late. And I don't know that. And so you know what I'm going to keep doing? I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying, because who can tell? God's going to be God, and he always does everything right. Verse 16 really is linked to verse 17. And what it says is, it's because of their rebellion. Seest thou not what they do in the streets of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? It's not a place for anyone but the true God. That's what verse 18 to 20 is talking about. Look at this. He says, the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven, I don't have enough time. You understand this. Mary is called the Queen of Heaven today in the Roman Catholic Church. In Newport, Kentucky, there's a church called the Queen of Heaven Catholic Church. They don't read the Bible, I guess. The Queen of Heaven was not something to be, you know, something that you should try to seek. The Queen of Heaven was most likely the goddess Ishtar Ashtaroth, which was a fertility god, evil, wicked, wrong, sinful. And so they made cakes to the Queen of Heaven. They poured out drink offerings to the gods that they may provoke me to anger. I want you to look at this. He says in verse 19, do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? You want to find people that are confused spiritually? Find people that mix Jesus and a bunch of other stuff. Those are the most confused people I've ever met. They couldn't tell you how to get to heaven. They are confused. He says this. He says, do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? I want you to look at verse 21 through 24. I'm trying to move for sake of time. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices and eat flesh. This is just a fun little thing. I've got to be reminded about this as well. Burnt offerings. When they did a burnt offering, how much of the burnt offering was offered unto God? All of it. Crispy, burnt offering, 100%. 100% of the burnt offering was dedicated unto God. Now, the sacrifices, go back and look this up. The sacrifices, it was just the fat. And then the meat was left for the priests and those, right? So here's what the Lord's saying. He's just saying this. Go ahead and eat the burnt offering. Go ahead and eat the sacrifice. It doesn't matter because that ain't what I was interested in. I wasn't interested in Chef Boyardee getting it right. He said, I'm telling you this. He said, it doesn't matter. You might cut the fat off and go, we did it right, didn't we? He's after you. He's after my heart. He's not after ritual. I know then some people say, well, that's why I don't go to church. Well, I don't know if I can help you. Because, you know, that's not what this is saying either. But it's just saying this. If you think going to church is all that God's interested in, you missed it. He's after your heart. And this is a way to kind of get our heart to hear some things. To be confronted to, are you one to sing? Do you agree with the songs? Are you excited to sing? And I'm not telling you, you know, you can have a rough day. Some discouragement is a real issue. But it confronts us, does it not? Or were you not confronted? I'm confronted when I got to go door knocking. I get to go door knocking. And so it's confronting. Then I preach. It's confronting me. It's a good thing, right? He's not interested in The P's and Q's of religion, he's interested in your heart. He's interested in obedience. What did I do? Anyway, thanks for coming. We're not done. And so anyway, I must have leaned on something. But I want you to look at verse 22. He said, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." When they came out of Egypt, he didn't say, "All right now, I want you to do these certain things." And that's why, Christian, when somebody gets saved, don't you dare start giving them a list of rules. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." I know, I'm tempted, right? I've seen many a couple saved that are living together. And I want to, "I'll see you next time." You know? I want to help them. But what I love watching the Holy Spirit lead them and not me. I'm not a patient guy. You know, like, "How you guys doing? Pretty good, eh? Pretty good? What does that mean?" So I don't do that, but it's not. He wants our hearts. He wants obedience. He didn't say, "Now here's what you've got to do. You're leaving Egypt. Now we got to do this. He didn't say that. He gave them the instruction for the picture of Christ later, but he says this. He says, look at verse 23, "But this one thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you." He wants well for us. His commandments are good for us, but they hearken not. They hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their heart, and went backward and not forward. I talk this, God is always faithful, verses 25 to 29. He is so good. He hearkens early, often, loves, hearkens. And he speaks of that. Look at verse 29. I'm going to get to a close. I'm so sorry. Verse 29, "Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath." It's just a picture of just complete humility. Complete brokenness. And so he tells them, you know, just be broken. What he says then, I want you to look at verse 30 through 34. Here's the last thought. Extreme evil equals extreme consequences. They were extremely rebellious. Look at verse 30. "For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart." They would sacrifice their children to somebody that they made. You understand this? They would make these idols. They would make these statues, and then they would offer their children to something they made. I want you to know this. The God we serve, he made all this. Pretty impressive. He made you. Not as impressive, but he made you. He's impressive. We didn't make him. He's God and we are not. They were offering their sons. You know what I think it was? It's they didn't want the responsibility of being parents, and so they spiritualized it and they killed their kids. We've done the same thing with abortion.
Amen.
People claim that it's better that those children die than to be raised in those homes. That's evil.
That's right.
There's never a justification for murder of a child. It's evil, and we've spiritualized it in this country. And it's wrong. Look at what he says here in verse 32. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall be no more called Tophet." Now, this is very graphic. It's very rough. "Nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place." There's not going to be room to handle all the carcasses, all the bodies. Verse 33, "And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven." You know, one of the dirtiest creatures on earth is a bird, right? You don't want to touch a bird. So kids, let me just tell you, if you see a dead bird, don't touch it. It's probably got disease all over it. Right? And you're like, "Ah, now I've scared all the kids." But Maybe that's good. You know, don't touch your, just wash your hands. You know, if you say don't touch your eyes, the kids will be like, what did he say? Birds are filthy, and what God says is these filthy creatures are going to be the ones that feast on the carcasses of the people that knew what's right and rebelled. For the beasts of the earth and none shall fray them away. Verse 34, then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth. I want you to tell you this. God wants you to be happy. But when we sin, he'll cause the voice of mirth to end, the voice of gladness to end, the voice of the bridegroom. Nothing like a wedding. You know, a wedding's joyous. And there's always hope in a wedding. Isn't there hope? It's just good, right? You're like, oh, wow. That's why I tell this. I've heard me say this before. Men, you should go to every wedding you can. I was very anti-wedding. Early in my marriage, I was just like, waste of time. Just dumb. Waste of money. They should elope. And maybe they should elope. And, you know, I told my kids, I said, here's how much money I'll give you. And or you can spend it all on the wedding. And they all want to spend it on the wedding. And so, but a wedding's beautiful because it reminds me of the commitment that I had for my wife. It's a time of hope and happiness, isn't it? But the Lord says their sin would remove the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Just to remind you, it's not God's fault. These were people that didn't properly understand why they were coming to the house of the Lord. We come to the house of the Lord to hear the word, to worship the King, and to mend our ways. And when we fail to do that, sin will weave its way into our lives. And you can come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and be no better off than the person that doesn't come to church at all. I didn't tell you not to come to church. But oh, ask God, don't let me be hardened. Oh, Father, give me a tender heart that I never tire of just one more time hearing the word, worshiping the King, and amending my ways. Let's pray.